This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here tonight is Ian and Chris. You can join Chris on his show. It's called Freedom Decrypted. He does it weekly on Saturdays, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time. On video, audio, both available through freedomdecrypted.com. Chris, what is the show?
It's a tech show for prickly people. So we basically cover A lot of the same kind of stuff that we cover on Free Talk Live, actually, except with a tech slant to it.
Yeah, you get a little more deeper into the weeds, and you definitely bring up some stories that we probably wouldn't cover here just because it's too technical.
Yeah, definitely.
If you like tech.
There's definitely more Linux and free software kind of stuff, and anything that involves, like, a government, attacking liberty or freedom in some way, we'll cover.
Which they're always doing as far as especially as tech is concerned. We could talk about the library case here in a little bit.
Yep.
But there's a story you've been wanting to share over the past couple of weeks. We just haven't had a chance to get to it, and that is out of Europe, Sweden, apparently, Swedish VPN, which I know they've been raided. We'll talk about that. But I know that when I hear about Sweden, I think, aren't they one of the more privacy-friendly countries? Aren't they, if you're a VPN user, don't they say, oh, you should use a Swedish VPN or a Swedish exit point?
Because they might be. I think Iceland is the one you're probably thinking of.
Because I thought there's certain European countries.
Iceland, maybe Switzerland.
Maybe it was Switzerland. I always get those two confused.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Sweden but, I mean, it might be one of them, but...
Yeah, maybe it was Switzerland. There's certain countries in Europe that are sort of known for having the best privacy protections as far as, if you download some movie from the Pirate Bay, the Swiss government isn't going to come after you or whatever. They don't care, essentially. This is not legal advice. Obviously, I don't remember which countries they are. But
Sweden might have been one in there at
do
some
your own
point,
research.
Too. There may have also been rulings that have come out that, this is the thing. Often, countries are good until they're not.
Meaning, and you never know when that's going to change, right?
The entertainment industry goes and brings a lawsuit or something along those lines, and then all of a sudden they're not so good anymore because they've gotten themselves a ruling that undermines privacy and security basically for everyone, unfortunately.
So what happened?
So in this case, this is a super interesting story, and by the way, this is coming from The Verge.
Okay.
It's involving a VPN provider called Molvad. And they're actually a pretty popular VPN provider, too. And basically, the police tried to raid its offices, but couldn't find any user data. And this is important because this is what you want when it comes
from
a VPN provider.
Because there's some of them that claim they don't log your data, but how do you really know what they're doing?
And the thing is, it's often the case that VPN providers are lying about these things. And the reason, in part, they're telling they're half-truths, right? So there's something called a session log. It's essential for, providing VPN services. And all it is while you're connected to the VPN, obviously they know who you are, right? So if, say...
But you have an account.
Yeah,
presumably.
You have an account, right?
They know what your IP address is.
Well, so you have usually when we're talking about VPN providers in this type of scenario, we're talking about a shared IP. So the question is, are they logging what website that particular account is going to?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. And if
they're
not,
you basically have to trust them.
Right. When they say no logging, they're not doing that. But they're talking about writing an actual log file to a hard disk or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But session logs aren't that. They're just in memory temporarily while you're connected to the VPN. if say, for example, MolVad was raided while you were connecting to the MolVad VPN, mm-hmm. well, they could throw in, they could take a look, they could bring up a log on the screen, the session log, and they could see that you're connected to some, you
They
know,
could see what's happening in the
right,
moment.
Right, in the moment, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's why I say it's a little bit of a half-truth when companies say, VPN providers say they're not logging. Sort of it's true, but obviously for the internet to work, yeah.
Well, yeah, you got to know where a person's going right. So you can get them there, right?
Yep. So, but what this does say, tell me is that they're not making any permanent logs, I think is what this is basically, you know.
This was called MolVad?
MolVad.
M-O-L?
It's M-U-L-L-V-A-D, MolVad.
M-U-L-L-V-A-D, okay.
Yep, and they are one of the providers that I have recommended. I feel like they've done things right.
This would be besides your own provider, which is called
I also VPN. Offer Penguin VPN service through thinkpenguin.com.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that MolVad does right is how they set up their WireGuard VPN service, which is basically WireGuard is the protocol, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of VPN providers are requiring you to install proprietary software that you can't trust.
Ooh, that's not good.
And that could potentially undermine whatever security you have on your system. And MolVad mm-hmm. doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of others that there's a handful that don't, but it's one of those things where if they're making you use proprietary software,
which is not open source by
right,
definition,
especially when there's not any source code to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's potentially problematic. MolVad, OVPN, I think. I'm trying to think of some of the others, but there's not that many of them, basically, is what it comes down to. And this is another good indicator that, they're doing something right. So here, let's get into the story here. So MolVad, the Swedish company behind MolVad VPN, says police walked away with nothing after attempting to seize computers from its office.
Attempting to see.
You know what's entertaining about this, though, is that they would raid the office? Because that's not presumably where the VPN
servers are.
So I have to wonder if this was just incompetence on the law enforcement side, or the law enforcement didn't really care. Or
that's a good question.
Because it doesn't necessarily prove that they weren't logging. It's just they walked away after a raid, having maybe raided the wrong address.
Hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, MolVad has VPN servers all over the world.
Yeah.
So why would you raid the office?
I don't know. They probably figured you could still log in remotely.
Right? Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Get access to whatever they need to get access to. But what's interesting is they claim they walked away empty-handed. I mean,
meaning they didn't even seize the servers in the first place. So how would they know other than the fact that they trusted MolVad?
I don't know. I presume they got in and looked around themselves, but let's see what else to say.
As reported earlier by PC Mag, according to an update, well, and the thing is, like, if you understand how law enforcement works, they're not going to look at the computer. Well, they might look at the computers while they're there,
screen. They did here.
But they're not necessarily going to go through the computers on site, generally speaking. That's what they would call a live forensics investigation.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that they're not going to do that is, well, one, it's time consuming, mm-hmm. but that's one of the reasons they're not going to do it on site. But what they will do is they'll take a picture of whatever's on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the parts of like a forensics investigation is logging every little thing that you do. So generally what's going to happen is they're going to pull the power and then they're going to take it back to a lab and analyze.
That's why I'm surprised here. I mean, this wasn't clearly it wasn't a forensics investigation. They were looking for something else. Right, and they didn't find that.
Which is interesting because you would think they would have just done a subpoena,
mm-hmm.
not performed a raid on the company.
Yeah, but raiding a company is a punitive act, right?
Where yes.
It's
the company that's doing something illegal, not a user of the company.
Well, was it?
Let's keep going.
Well, I presume they were looking for information about certain users, but yeah,
I presume so too.
The reason here,
according to an update on the MolVad site, the authorities left and didn't take anything after it informed them that the company doesn't store customer data.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds like they took their word for it.
It sounds like it. We argued they had no reason to expect to find what they were looking for, and any seizures would therefore be illegal under Swedish law.
Hmm.
Generally, they're not going to believe the person that they're raiding, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
MolVad writes, after demonstrating that this is indeed our service.
Now, imagine if you could just talk
Talk your way out of it.
Out of it. Like, hey, you guys, this isn't going to work out for you. Nice day.
Indeed, how our service works, and them consulting the prosecutor, they left without taking anything and without any customer information. One of the things is...
They could have just called them and asked.
I suspect the reason it went down the way it did, if this is in fact what happened, I suspect comes down to the fact that I think I read this article before, they were doing it on behalf, the Swedish law enforcement were doing it on behalf of the German law enforcement.
Oh.
And they probably sort of went in blind to do the raid, and then after talking with the, you know, people there, they realized that it wasn't going to do any good, and the prosecutor probably didn't really care, because it's not the prosecutor's case, it's a German law enforcement's case.
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction here, because if it was their own case, maybe they would have been a little more rough with the people. Maybe they would have taken stuff. Maybe they would have not apologized or not listened to what was being said. Whereas in this case, they're like, oh, well, yeah, if we seize all this stuff, we're just going to have to hold it somewhere and then probably give it back, and that's going to be a big hassle, so we'll just leave it.
There's no benefit, basically, for them, and there's only negatives. So
they don't get the conviction. They don't get the...
They're not prosecuting the company anyway. It's the data. I wonder if they even knew it was a VPN provider when they went in and raided. I don't know. You'd think that they would do a little bit more research than that, but we've seen some pretty incompetent things from law enforcement in the U.S. at least.
For sure.
So a VPN is a service that lets you securely browse the internet using an encrypted connection to a private server. It hides...
Virtual private network.
Yeah, that's kind of weird saying a private server, but okay. I mean, it is, I guess. It hides identifying information, such as your IP address. So what it is it's a shared server is what you're using, really, because it's... You're connecting to VPN's, I guess, private server, but it's that server is being shared amongst all the users of, or well, there's more than one, but all the users of the service, and they're using, well, multiple users on one IP address.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So
I always wondered how many IPs these guys.
It's going to be more than one.
Yeah.
But no, you're going to, generally speaking, unless you have a static IP address, but then it's going to be. It's a little bit of a different setup, but generally...
Wait, do they put users on the same IP at the same time?
Yes.
Or is it just... Okay.
Yes. And that's how come, without those logs, you don't necessarily know what user, you know, did what thing that somebody, you know, if there's law enforcement or, you know, copyright cartels or whoever it is wants it. They need those logs.
That's why sometimes when you're on a VPN and you go to certain websites, they'll say, oh, well, this IP has been restricted due to blah, blah, blah or whatever. Somebody else was trying to spam or whatever else they were trying to do from that IP. It wasn't you. But it was somebody else on the same VPN who was doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and so you get punished for it because you're on the same IP.
It's actually amazing that they even do that, because there's all sorts of, you know, VPNs are just one technology, but lots of companies have what are called proxy servers, and the point isn't to anonymize anybody, and often the proxy servers will actually send along another IP address of the user, but the point is, it's not. There's many situations where you may have one IP address for many users. Mm-hmm. So to block an IP address is going to affect more than just a single user.
Right.
You might be affecting, you know, hundreds of users or thousands of users. Even.
Sure.
There's whole countries behind a single proxy server in some instances.
Wow.
So yeah, it's actually kind of amazing that security policies are such at many websites to basically block huge swaths of the internet.
I mean, it's an extreme thing to do, but sometimes blocking an IP is the only way you can stop somebody from coming into your system, right?
And often they block whole IP ranges in many cases, too.
Right,
so
they could just
it's like,
get a new IP.
Oh, we're going to block all of New Hampshire because there's one person in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that's really how it works in many cases. Or whole countries, or whole continents are sometimes blocked.
It's because there's certain likelihood that you're going to have a hacker coming from that part of the country or that part of the world. So they just say, you know what, we'd just rather not have anyone from that country.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a situation where, like, a company only does business in the United States, so they're just going to block all of China or all of Asia or all of Africa. Right, because they don't do business with Africa or, you know, China or Asia or any of those countries or continents.
Yeah,
so, you know,
block them out.
It doesn't have as much of an effect, negative effect, but
right.
It hides identifying information such as your IP address from third parties, making it possible to access geo-blocked websites or get a more private browsing experience. Something else to point out, an IP address is sort of like your home address. You can sort of think of it like mm-hmm. that, but it doesn't necessarily mean your home address. It could be like an apartment building, not necessarily your physical address.
Right.
Unlike many other VPN services, MoldDad doesn't require an email address to sign up, and instead, it generates a random account number for all users.
Wow, that is unusual.
Yeah, I mean, how useful that is, you know, it's sort of somewhat debatable, but certainly not having an email address or a phone number or other, you know, information tied to your to an account
more
is definitely the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of different ways that you can do this, and if they're not the only provider like this.
So their viewpoint is that, look, we don't need to know your email address for verification purposes because you're going to have to pay for the service. So as long as you can pay for the service, we don't care if you have an email on file, right?
Yeah. There's also other ways to sort of deal with the problem, like, for example, not keeping databases of account information alongside the billing information. So if you separate the two.
Mm.
So until somebody gives you the information for their account, you can't renew both pieces of information, you can't renew the subscription.
I see.
MoldDad says this is the first time in its 14 years of operating a VPN that police have issued a search warrant. And company CEO Jan Johnson tells The Verge he doesn't know exactly what they were looking for.
Huh, interesting.
Even if I wonder if the Swedish authorities even knew what they were looking for,
because it's
on behalf of the German authorities.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you think they must, but who knows?
Yeah, that's interesting. They don't even know.
Yeah, even if the authorities had seized its servers, Johnson says that police wouldn't have found anything due to its strict policies against keeping data. In a statement to The Verge, Christian,
good for them, by the way. And there's another good reason to do this beyond just trying to help your customers protect their privacy. Another good reason is if you don't have the data, you can't turn it over, and that means that whatever stupid requests that the government's going to make, you know, they're going to issue subpoenas to you saying, give us all the blah, blah. Sorry, I don't have anything to give you.
Yep.
So that's a time saver, right? Because otherwise, if you have the data, then you got to have an employee go on the task of digging up the information, printing it out, and then sending it all, whatever stupid nonsense you have to do to jump through those hoops. If you don't have the data, you just like, quick little letter. Sorry, we don't have that. Have a nice day. Time saved. Money saved.
It really is. And, you know, what's interesting is that there was a Data Regulation Act, actually, at one point in Europe. And I think it got overturned, if I recall. And basically, that required providers, like VPN providers and ISPs, to log your traffic. So kind of interesting note, because that's no longer the case. Christian, a spokesman for the Sweden's National Operations Department, says that members of the Swedish Cybercrime Center operating under the Swedish Police Authority executed the search warrant in response to a European investigation order concerning a serious cybercrime. So, it doesn't say Germany here, but I think it was Germany that it was on behalf of. Declined to comment any further, citing local legislation and the fact that this isn't a Swedish investigation. We find it peculiar that the National Operations Department of the Swedish Police make this search warrant visit now, for the first time in our 14-year history, Johnson tells The Verge. They should know by now how our service works. Yeah, and you know what's interesting is that...
Yeah, you would think that sometime in the last 14 years that a letter would have been sent to them requesting information, and they would have declined it because they don't have the information. They would have learned that.
It's kind of a bigger thing. Like, this is the thing with governments, law enforcement, and, you know, judges, lawyers, is that they assume that the internet works a certain way, and their understanding of how the internet works is actually flawed. Because they think, like, an IP address is a person, right? And it's not a person. It's not even a household. An IP address is just, it's a means of routing data. And in many countries, as I pointed out earlier, you might have a whole country behind a single IP address.
It's crazy.
So, you know, this assumption that they make in many cases when it comes to, you know, issuing warrants and things of that nature, It's entirely flawed.
I want to go to the phones here. We can continue with the story. Sam is on the line in Ohio. Go ahead, Sam.
Just curious if we had any news about the debt ceiling.
Supposedly, rumor has it, there's a handshake deal. It will be barely any kind of cut to spending, likely. And they will, of course, raise the debt limit. So, I mean, there's rumors.
But is it going to be the whole... Is it going to be the whole scam? We negotiated it for 3 months, and we're going to renegotiate it again.
I mean, of course, there's always going to be another debt ceiling. So when they raise it, there'll be a new ceiling, and then once they reach that or get close to that new ceiling, there'll be more negotiations. They'll act like they're not going to do it, and then they'll do. You know, they'll come to an agreement at the.
But is there any news behind that handshake deal of like how long people think that that'll last before we have to go through this whole hand-wringing circus again?
I don't know. I think that everything is still up in the air to some extent. I'm just kind of scanning through one of the stories about this right now as you ask the question. But it's not, you know, it's not all written down, I don't think, at this point. I can't really say, Sam. I wish I had more for you, but rest assured, these people will continue the operation of the federal government because that is in both of their interests, which is to say, to control you and to rule you and to violently extract obedience and money from you and value from you. So, I mean, they will find a way to keep this thing moving forward. Just the only thing that we don't know right now are the details.
Oh. And then the other thing I was thinking about, banking problems. Anything news on that?
No, I haven't heard any banks failing in recent days or the last couple of weeks. I'm sure if we'd heard something, we would have brought that to you, Sam. Anything else?
Well, no, not that I can think of. Just the fact that seems like Rome is burning.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. If there's any kind of news about that and you want to share it, maybe we haven't heard it yet, you're welcome to join the show. 603-283-6160. I was trying to remember what Peter St. Ange's video was about today. Really enjoy his content. If you want to follow kind of the latest on what's going on with the U.S. economy, then he's definitely the guy to follow on social media. Professor Peter St. Ange, I believe his Twitter account is Prof. St. Ange, does a great little three, four minute long summary of sort of the last 24 hours events. Guy does it 7 days a week, as a matter of fact. So appreciate his
dedication.
Appreciate his dedication to that. And he's also got a podcast out now, so you can, like, once a week, he combines all of his 3-4 minute things together into one MP3 file and shoots that out. So check him out. All right, there's more coming up here in moments. You can join the show. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. The highways are starting to get busy as many hit the roads and the sky this holiday weekend.
AAA says a surge of more than 42 million Americans will load up the nation's roads, highways, train hubs, and airports through the next 4 days, with many traveling off on holiday. Good news, gas is about a dollar cheaper than a year ago. TSA airport checkpoints will also probably be significantly longer waits with some possible flight disruption. I'm Ryan Daniels.
The Treasury Department is now warning the U.S. could default if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling by June 5th. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen previously told Congress the deadline could be as soon as June 1st. The timeline gives lawmakers a little more breathing room to hammer out a deal and vote on a bill to avoid a default. This fall, a new COVID vaccine booster shot will target a new strain of three Omicron subvariants. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. Join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. We got the latest court filing in the library case, something we've been following pretty closely here on Free Talk Live in the last couple of years. LBRY.com. We'll get into that story coming up here in a moment. We've been talking about privacy on the internet and this VPN over in Sweden that was actually raided by the Swedish police. Cops went away empty-handed after they realized that this particular VPN didn't store any logs, so there wasn't any data for the cops to take. CNN and Chris in the studio here tonight. You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the various different features that we have for you. And I also want you to know that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending, and in addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have what is called a decentralized autonomous organization. They did it first. They paved the way for what is now a fairly popular concept. These DAOs, as they're called, are very, very ubiquitous in the crypto scene. In the case of Dash, every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury, and then anybody that's got one Dash, which right now is just above $40 for one Dash, they can put forward a proposal to the, what are called the Dash Masternodes. Now, Masternodes are people that are running a certain program that helps the Dash network do specific tasks, and they get rewarded for that. But they also have to, you know, pay to run the nodes. And so the Dash Masternodes get a vote on these proposals. They vet the proposals. They decide which ones move forward and get funded by that 10% treasury. In fact, that's how we got this sponsorship. And again, DAOs are very, very popular now. Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago, and it's still going strong. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Here on Free Talk Live, you can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Let's go to the phones here, and then we can talk a little bit more about Sweden, because my memory was that Sweden was pretty privacy-friendly, and according to the story I've got here, that may still be true. But Alu Axelman is on the line with us here from LibertyBlock.com. Hello, Alu.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Listening to the show from last night with you and Jay, which is always fantastic, and gave me some good points about credit cards versus cash. I obviously agree that cash allows for more freedom, privacy, anonymity, and independence. You mentioned that with credit cards, the big banks or whoever supplies the credit cards finds value in it because they can harvest that data. I don't know exactly how much data they get, but I'll tell you one creepy story that I discovered started happening 3, 4, or 5 years ago.
Hmm.
I paid with a credit card at some random store. I think I was in Carolina visiting my brother, a store I've never been to, and I got an email receipt. And I remember thinking, wow, that's a little disturbing. How is my email connected to my credit card?
So you didn't give the store your email address, but they emailed you a receipt.
Nope, exactly. And it wasn't like just an email like from Chase. It was like an email like from whatever, North Carolina bagels. Like,
whoa.
You know, over,
and you had never been to this store before.
No.
Okay.
So let me speculate here. I bet what they did was there's a database where they're logging a hash of the credit card number, and then they're assigning that an email address, and then another store, may not even be the same chain, is using
tied into the same
hashing
database.
That credit card number, looking up the hash, and pulling the email address to be able to send you an email, even though you didn't provide it.
Uh-oh. We lost that sentence there, Alu. Can you say that again?
Sorry. Yeah, the other thing is during the January 6th Fed convention, Bank of America, volunteered. They weren't even asked.
Unfortunately, you're in a pretty bad cell there. You're saying something about Bank of America regarding January 6th. One more shot.
Yeah, Bank of America voluntarily gave a lot of the data to the feds around the January.
Oh, yeah, of course they did.
Any customer who was buying anything from a gun store or was in the D.C. area within that entire time frame, they gave to the feds so that they could target them.
Without a warrant, you're just saying they just said, we're going to help you.
They voluntarily gave it up.
This is exactly why people should be using things like cryptocurrencies, because they give you an opportunity to put a distance between yourself and potentially other malicious actors that want to use your information against you.
Like the banks and governments.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great point. Disturbing story, Alu. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I spoke to Aaron Day today, and he's running for president. He's a great free stater, great longtime liberty activist, and he's writing a book. It's coming out very soon. I believe it's called Countdown. It's going to be all about all of this stuff and how we can avoid mass tyranny. And he focuses a lot on CBDCs, crypto, privacy, real money, ending the Fed, bank runs. So that book's going to be fantastic. So I want you to pick it up once that comes out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know Aaron reached out to me as well, and I think he's going to send a PDF over so we can check it out and then have him on to talk about it. So look forward to
great.
That.
And in other news, we just hit publish on two of my audiobooks, both recorded by two different voluntarists, narrators, Articles of Secession, A Blueprint for Liberty. So that'll be three audiobooks finally up online.
Excellent. And people can go to learn more about those at libertyblock.com?
Yes, sir, and autoaxelman.com and Amazon.
Very cool. I appreciate your call tonight, man. Thanks for dialing in.
Thanks so much.
Alu Axelman from LibertyBlock.com. Great independence activist here in New Hampshire as well. Should be
one of the best.
Yeah, for sure. Should be an interesting weekend for independents here in New Hampshire. There's going to be a plane flying over the most populated cities in New Hampshire tomorrow at some point. I don't have the exact schedules. I don't know when people will be able to look to the sky, but if you're in Nashua, Manchester, or Concord, New Hampshire tomorrow, you should see some kind of little plane flying around with a lengthy banner attached to it that will be all about peaceful secession. So we will see. I'm looking forward to hopefully somebody can get a good picture of this thing. They got a good camera to get that shot. That would be great. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
Keene was not one of the cities, correct?
Keene is not one of the top populated cities. Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna spend $500 an hour,
no. I totally understand why. I'm just thinking, like, is there any way I could get out there and get a picture?
No.
But it's gonna be like an hour minimum each
way.
Yeah,
you'd be in the.
It'd be a challenge.
So we were talking about security. We're talking about VPNs, and you had shared a story about a Swedish VPN called Molvad. They were raided by the Swedish police. The police had to walk away because Molvad does not log their customers' actions, and they have no logs to turn over to the police. So when the cops came in with whatever weapons they had to walk out without any computers or any data because the data didn't exist. And it made me wonder about, you know, was Sweden one of these privacy-protecting countries? That was what was in my head. You said maybe it was Switzerland, and maybe it is also Switzerland, but according to another
I think Iceland is one of the big ones, if I recall. Switzerland might be, too, but I'm not sure. Switzerland is definitely, or was in the past, when it came to secret bank accounts.
Yeah,
so
they changed that, though.
Yeah, that's not so much the case anymore, but yeah. I'm not sure about the privacy as far as the data, but I think they also may be that too.
So now this, just to be clear, this article is a little old. It's from 2016. So what has changed in the last several years, I don't know. But at the very least, this does give you the impression that Sweden is a fairly privacy-centric place compared to other governments in the world. This is actually coming from another VPN competitor's website, which is ExpressVPN, which is not an advertiser. Looking for information about Swedish privacy, and this is what came up. It says Sweden has a long history of privacy laws. As early as 1973, it became the first country in the world to enact a comprehensive statute that protects the privacy of personal data on computers. Sweden's commitment to privacy is so enshrined that when the EU passed a 2006 data retention directive,
yep, that's what I was talking about.
The Swedish government decided not to play ball. The directive required EU states to ensure that all national internet service providers retain logs of their customers for their purposes of quote-unquote investigation and prosecution. This data was required to be kept for a minimum of 6 months, and the mass harvesting was to begin no later than September 15, 2007. Fast forward to 2010, and after 3 years of feet-dragging, Sweden was taken to court by the European Commission because they had yet to implement the directive. The European Commission sought a fine for every day that Sweden had not had the law in place. Obviously, the court action was a kick up the backside, and the Swedish government has towed the line ever since. Just kidding, says the author here. Of course they haven't. It would take a further 2 years of Sweden clinging to Lady Liberty, screaming, don't wanna, not gonna, before anything changed. The requirement was finally put into place in 2012, but not before Sweden was forced to pay a hefty 3 million euro fine to the European Commission.
You know, this just is a good reason to point out why you don't want to be part of a union or the United States or part of the European Union. Being part of these unions, they come with strings attached.
Oh, yeah,
big
time.
And this is the same reason why people were so uptight about the masks or taking money from the U.S. federal government in New Hampshire over the masks.
Right.
Because they had strings attached.
Yeah, exactly right. Good reason to secede peacefully from whatever these organizations are. The lengthy delay was caused by arguments over how best to balance privacy laws and the desire to combat crime. But
balance? There's no balance. Yeah. You just eliminated privacy if you're requiring them to log.
However, the dance didn't end there. In 2014, the Court of Justice of the European Union invalidated the data retention directive.
Ah, so I was right.
The court found it seriously interfered with human rights. So pretty much as soon as the ruling was announced, Bahnhof, which is one of Sweden's leading ISPs, started destroying all the data they were obligated to hold. Bahnhof CEO John Carlung also said that Bahnhof would stop retaining new data immediately. Of course,
well, you know what I'm wondering, though, is so when they have this directives in Europe, mm-hmm. it's the states that are obligated to then implement them into law, into local law. I would think that just because the Swedish, or I'm sorry, the European Union directive was overturned at the European level, the law would still exist in Sweden that they passed.
I don't know how all that works.
I don't either, but I would think that the law would still exist until the Swedish government, you know, threw it out.
It doesn't sound like the ISP in this case gave a damn about that, because they said here they just immediately started deleting the data.
Right, and which is what makes me wonder what the story is, if that is in fact the case, because that's what I would think would be the case.
If you live in Europe and you know, you can call us up here at 603-283-6160. So the EU demanded that Bahnhof had to start harvesting data again, but the Swedish government had no intention of forcing them to do so. Sweden started its internet existence the right way, and it seems like the country is prepared to stand its ground to keep it that way. In the 1990s, the public was just getting on board with the internet, but they weren't really sure what to do with it. In the early days, it was very much like Tor is now. It was wild and free, but if you wanted to go to a specific website, you had to remember the whole URL address. And sometimes they were really long. Remember the GeoCities chat groups? I don't. And it required a Darren Brown-esque display of mental prowess just to even turn up at the right place. Search engines eventually arrived to add a structure that made sense to people. Algorithms indexed the content of the internet, making it accessible to everyone who could type a word or two into a search bar. But it was Google who emerged as everyone's de facto homepage. Google controlled 65% of internet searches, and this was in 2016, I think it's higher than that now, and their influence is staggering. Naturally, this doesn't give them a free pass in Sweden. When Google apps breached the nation's privacy laws, they were promptly banned because the first rule of the internet in Sweden is you don't mess with the internet in Sweden, they say. Sweden adopted the internet early due to standing regulations that promoted competition across the country. That meant that internet access costs were and still are way below the global average. The take-up was so high that the government started to move its services online long before any other even thought about it. In 2003, Sweden created the first Internet Task Force, which in turn came up with the Sweden Electronic Communications Act of 2003. The act was aimed at ensuring private individuals, legal entities, and public authorities had secure and efficient access to the Internet. Not only were they looking to protect users, but also make the Internet more robust and accessible. I don't know if the government can do those things. But in 2008, when everyone else was still buying their books from real bookshops, Sweden headed the UN's e-government readiness test, because of course they did. They've been doing it for 5 years already. And then they addressed the Tor network here. Tor has taken the crown from computer games as the go-to scapegoat of choice for lazy politicians looking to overreact about something. The Tor network is the anonymous, uncategorized service that you may know as the dark web, but it's not just full of criminals and girls with dragon tattoos. It's where the discerning internet user goes when they don't want to be spied upon. Coupled with a VPN service, Tor is, well, utterly impenetrable is what they claim, but we know that the U.S. government and other governments around the world have managed to take down many a darknet website, including virtually all of the Silk Road competitors that have come up since they arrested Ross Ulbricht back in the day. So I wouldn't say it's impenetrable.
So I think there's a little bit of, how do I say this, you kind of have to put a sort of a couple additional words in there, and that is, Tor has not been broken for the most part. It's the applications that you use with Tor.
Mm.
So depending on your setup, you are potentially protected with Tor still. It's just that a lot of people were not using Tor in the most secure fashion.
Fair enough. Well, that said, people are getting screwed over pretty royally. So, I mean, just Tor itself may be good, but it's still hard to know exactly how all this governments are.
It can give a false sense of security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Researchers from the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory developed Tor as a safe way to transmit U.S. intelligence around the world. The reasons for opening Tor up to the public are as schizophrenic as they are genius. Despite being Tor's loudest critic, the U.S. remains its largest contributor. closely followed by Sweden. A branch of the Swedish government, SIDA, has a goal of promoting, quote, internet freedom for global development. But why do the Swedish care so much about not just their own privacy, but the rest of the world, too? And then they get into about the Nazis. They say it all began long before the internet existed. In 1766, Sweden became the first country to introduce a constitutional law which abolished censorship and guaranteed freedom of the press. The press were allowed to report without hindrance, and people could speak their minds without fear of reproach, which that I did not know. You know, normally the United States gets all the credit for having the First Amendment, but that came after 1766, yeah. So very interesting.
And, you know, I think that the United States gets a little too much credit sometimes, especially because there's this thing called copyright, and, well... You know,
it's not free speech.
That
at all,
undermines
right?
that very. It's in the Constitution. There's a reference to copyright, basically, and you know, it undermines the very First Amendment rights that you've got. So, yeah, and the courts in recent years have effectively ruled to that effect. Even though the Constitution only references copyright, it isn't. In theory, it should not be. It should not be at the same level as. The First Amendment, because effectively the First Amendment is in the Constitution, whereas it simply says that the law may be created effectively in regard to copyright. So you would think First Amendment would still trump copyright law.
You would think.
But that's not how the courts have ruled.
The Nazis then showed up. The Nazis pressured Sweden not to publish anything which made the Third Reich look bad. In a move which must have had him rubbing his hands and cackling with evil glee, the German Minister of Justice at the time dug up an old Swedish law which prohibited offensive writings against a foreign state, a law presumably introduced because Sweden is lovely and didn't want to be rude. Many Swedish authors and publishers fell foul of this blatant misuse of power. Tor Nerman got 3 months in prison for an anti-Hitler column, and Israel Holmgren had his book The Nazi Hell pulped. After he was locked up for writing it, of course. In a magnificent bit of ballsy defiance, Holmgren immediately republished the book upon release from prison, though with a new ironic title, The Nazi Paradise. After World War II, the Swedish changed and deleted the old censorship laws, lest any future fascist dictator try to turn their own politeness against them again. A new privacy charter was drawn up, which means today there's absolutely no censorship in Sweden at all. As suggested by the SIDA program mentioned earlier, Sweden doesn't just take care of themselves. Internet privacy is a global concern, after all. When WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden dropped the snoop bomb on the world, which, by the way, was a decade ago that happened, it was Swedish ISP Bahnhof, the same provider who destroyed their customer records, mentioned earlier, that Julian Assange trusted to keep the whistleblowing documents safe. Assange specifically mentioned the Swedish Constitution, which gives total legal protection to information providers as a factor in his decision to host his files there. Also, the servers were installed in a secret underground mountain bunker, and if you're going to take on the world's government,
that's a PR stunt.
You might as well get yourself a sweet lair. The Swedish approach to privacy and freedom of speech was instrumental in getting the word out there. We had no idea as to the scale of the snooping laws, or the snooping, until WikiLeaks showed us. Thanks to a brave few individuals, big governments have been rumbled and exposed. And then finally, they say, why is Sweden at the forefront of the internet and its laws? There's no single reason, but the kingdom has a long and proud history of free speech. I didn't know it was a kingdom either. And their torrid time next to Nazi Germany no doubt strengthened their desire to stick it to the man. The early adoption of the World Wide Web meant Sweden created an infrastructure while most countries were still waiting for mom to get off the phone so we could plug in our modem. Perhaps there's a sense in Sweden that they were there first and they want to keep it like it used to be. The well-endowed government got involved early, long before it was all about the spying, controlling, and selling. They did it right in the innocent days, back when email was just a good idea to save paper, and no Nigerian prince desperately wanted to give you free money. The rules were in place before the system got corrupted. Simply, the internet in Sweden started right, and now they don't want to go backward. And why should they? The people that work in the Swedish government today grew up with the system. They don't know another way, and their way works. Sweden has consistently been a vocal proponent of internet privacy and the true internet to boot, the internet without censorship as it is meant to be. This is the internet that was supposed to be for everyone. So a nice little puff piece there for Sweden. Although, like I said, it is a little bit old. I don't know what the current status is. If you do, maybe things have changed since 2016 out there, and you want to weigh in, feel free. We've got Shortwave Surfer on the line here calling us on our SIP line at sip.freetalklive.com. You can get the instructions on how to call in. Go ahead, Shortwave Surfer.
Hey, it would seem to me that the best thing to do would be to host a darknet market on Tor via an IPFS, because then it couldn't be taken down, because the website itself would just be a hash somewhere, and anybody can access the hash just like Tornado Cash.
So yeah, IPFS, we're getting a little bit, we need to kind of explain terminology here. IPFS, as I understand it, is a decentralized web hosting system. Is that right?
It's a decentralized file system, so you can put any file you want there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put HTML and stuff like that for a website and then just reference it.
You know what else actually is potential benefit of that too, is that Tor, you need to be in order to access an Onion site, you need to be connected to Tor.
That's right.
But with IPFS, there are generally, you go through what's called a gateway, and there's all these gateways all over the place, and so that's actually a really, really, really good idea.
So running IPFS
over Tor. So basically you're exactly. So you're running IPFS on Tor, you're routing it through Tor, but people can access it through the normal web, like any browser, simply by going to the IPFS address. And if one particular gateway blocks it.
Hold on, you don't need special software to go to an IPFS?
Well, you need a gateway. You need a gateway to access an IPFS address, unless you're running IPFS itself.
I see.
But there's lots of gateways out there.
These are websites that you can go to?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're websites. So you go to, like, I'm trying to think. I can't think of any off my, like, I don't know, like Pump.io. I don't think Pump.io, but.
I want to say
but,
IPFS has one.
Say what? Say again?
You can just go to the IPFS. I want to say the IPFS main site has one.
It does.
Just go to the IPFS. Mm.
Yeah, is it like IPFS.io or something like that? But anyway, yeah, it's like if you go to IPFS.io and then /, like, basically like a hash of the website you're trying to access,
yeah,
you'll get to the website. If IPFS.io blocks it, you just go to a different gateway and use that same hash to get to it.
Yeah, for all the time I've heard about IPFS, I've actually never taken the time to really explore it.
It's pretty.
Check it out.
It's sort of popular, but it's still kind of getting off the ground, I think.
Shortwave Surfer, is there more you wanted to share? Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss to control the airwaves. Coming up, we'll get into the library latest from the courts on the way.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. at no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.